Well, good morning. I'd like to begin this morning just to share something with you that happened yesterday. It's not going to tie in with the message this morning, but something that God used to bless Vonda and I in our walk with the Lord. Yesterday we went down to Kenlin and Rachel's wedding in Napanee. And on the way home, Main Street Coffee Roasters is right there, so you want to stop if you can. So we pulled over and walked up the street, and they're closed. Labor Day. So we turned around, decided, well, we're going to go across the road. We're going to go to another little, I think it's a mercantile or something. We're going to go over there. Maybe they have a drink in there we could get. And we walk across the road. They're closed. But sitting out front of that mercantile was a couple that was maybe my age. And they made a comment to us, so we got up close to them. And he started talking about Jesus. And it's just like he couldn't stop. He just wanted to keep talking about Jesus. Then he told us, he said, I used to be afraid of my scars. And then he showed me he had a scar on the side here that went a long ways. It was a big scar. He said, I used to be ashamed of my scar, but he said, now I use it. He uses it so he can talk about Jesus. And he started sharing with us what happened in his life. He was a pastor, and he had brain cancer. He had 5 surgeries. He said, they removed a large part of my brain. He said, I'm probably kind of brainless. He didn't allow that to stop him from sharing Jesus. He was so excited. And God just really spoke to me through that. He had a little walker stroller thing that he needed to use to get back across the street. His wife was sitting next to him. Almost couldn't hear. So we had to get a little bit closer to him. It didn't stop him. He didn't need a pulpit to preach. You don't need a pulpit to preach. Share Jesus. That's what he was doing. And it just really encouraged Vonda and I to hear him share from his heart what God has done in his life. Then on top of his brain surgeries, which the doctors told him you have 58 days to live, and that was how many years ago? 30? A long time ago. He had a stroke last year. And now there's a lot of things he can't do. He's still sharing Jesus. I just encouraged us, and I like that to encourage you this morning. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? I got up this morning. I had no problem walking out of my bedroom. I'm guessing most of us here didn't. Did we share Jesus this week? Are we going to this coming week? Something for us to think about. And then on top of that, we look up the street and there's Paul and Catherine and some of their family walking. We're not going to talk about that. That happened in Napanee too. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I've titled my message this morning, The Call to Obedience. Let me ask you this morning, what's your thought when you talk about, when somebody mentions the word obedience? What do you think about? Restrictions. Okay. Rules. A life to live. There was another one. There's a cost. A call. Cost. Accountability. Discipline. Hey, there we go. That's what I was looking for. There's freedom. We're made up of two, I could just say it this way, I guess. When we hear the word obedience, there's two things that come to mind. One of them is, don't infringe on my freedom. I have freedom. Don't infringe on it. I am who I am. I'm going to be who I am. Don't mess with me. That's one way to look at it. I'm finding working at Yoder's, we have that in some of them. I have freedoms. You will find people you connect with throughout the day. They have freedoms. Some love the freedom that it gives because maybe there's some security in it. The other way is just give me a direction. I am happy to obey. I'm secure in that. There's freedom in that too. I'm just happy to obey. In that, there's also a danger. When we look at talking about Scripture, there's a danger in not digging in yourself, getting into the Word of God. Don't ever, I want to say this nicely and gently, don't ever expect that your pastors are going to give you everything you need. You have got to get into the Word and dig. That is so important. So important for our Christian walk. We're going to be talking about obedience this morning, the call to obedience. But before we do, I've shared this before, but before we do, we need to understand something. I'm going to bring this back again. The idea of obedience. And this guy is not functioning. Can you go to the next one? We'll keep going. Maybe he'll get that next screen up here in a bit. I will not push buttons here. I'll let you see if you can get it done. Okay, we're going to keep going. What I want to talk about today for just a tiny bit here is the idea that obedience is doing. And we don't want to focus on doing without, first of all, realizing that there's something that happens before that. Now, I can obey things that are in the Scriptures. I can obey them to a T. I can obey what we have here as a church to a T. And I can be as empty as a tin can. Being is something that we need to understand. Being in Christ, relationship with Christ, is something. Thank you. Being in Christ, a relationship, has to come before doing for Christ. What am I talking about? I want us to think about, I take my hands and I run them into each other. I want us to think about being in God and He in us, intertwined. That's how we are on the being side of Christ. I'm going to look at some scriptures. It'd be good if you can turn to these scriptures. I'm not going to have them on the overhead. But if you'd like to turn to Galatians 3, we're going to look a little bit at just a couple of scriptures about being in Christ. It's not that our doing can't bring honor to God, but our being has to be there first. That relationship within has to be in place first. Galatians 3 verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ." And when I look at these verses, as I was meditating on them, the idea of being children by our faith in Christ, then it talks about being baptized into Christ. So that means we've put on Christ. And in doing that, we are connecting with the Father. We are in Him, and He is in us. We're all one in Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1, 2, and 3 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verses that are so familiar to us, maybe we miss it sometimes because they're read so often, we hear them so many times. If you're risen with Christ, that means there has to be a death. If we're going to rise, there has to be a death. Christ died. He gave us the example. We die in Him. We die to ourselves. We rise with Him. At the new birth, we rise with Him. And then our seeking changes, doesn't it? No longer are we seeking, or we shouldn't. No longer are we seeking for these earthly things. How big can I get my bank account to be? How big, how beautiful can I make things here? It's nothing wrong with that. God doesn't say that it's wrong, but it's where our heart's at. It's what God does within us and what we do, where we allow our thoughts and our hearts to go to. But we seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This thing about setting our affection, our desires, our thoughts, it's an aim that we shoot for. Setting our hearts, our minds on things above is something that we work towards. And then it says, you're dead. And again, your life is hid with Christ in God. It's other kingdom focused. We have a kingdom here that we're a part of in this life. We're all here. We're all still alive. So we're part of this earthly kingdom. But yet we have within us a different kingdom that we're living for. It's beyond this earthly kingdom. We have to function. We do need to get out and live life. But there's a different focus within us. There's something else that we're working towards, and that is a heavenly kingdom. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 5. There's two verses there, verse 20 and verse 21. Second Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What's an ambassador? It's a representative. We are representatives of Christ. We are promoters. I had no question what that man, who he was promoting, who he was representing, when I began listening to him down there in Napanee yesterday. He was an ambassador for Christ. He was not afraid to say what country he belonged to, where he wanted to go, because he was serving a God of a kingdom that's different than the one that we live in, a heavenly kingdom. There was a divine relationship that was offered at the foot of the cross. Jesus offered each one of us this whole picture of being in Him. It's still there. But I have to accept the fact of Him wanting me to be in Him. I have to accept that for that to actually take place. To be in Him. We don't deserve it, but that's what He came to do. To give us that opportunity. Now we'll move on to the subject of obedience, looking a little bit more at doing. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. One of my favorite Old Testament passages. I think one of the reasons probably is because you can read it once, you get something, you read it again, there's something new that just pops out at you. Genesis 22. I'd like to look this morning for a bit at Abraham and Isaac. Abraham the dad, Isaac the son. And we're just going to read through verse 14 for now. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or He wanted to prove Abraham. And this is what He told him. He said, Abraham said, behold, here am I. And watch what Abraham, watch his response through this whole part that we're going to read. his quick response. Behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave, or he chopped the wood before they left, for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That's where we're going to stop for now. So Abraham had this call from God. I want you to take your son. I don't know what Abraham was thinking at this time, but Abraham had a relationship with God, a very, very close relationship with God. And when God spoke, Abraham instantly obeyed. I don't see Abraham making any kind of excuses. He just did what God said. Take your son, whom thou lovest. God asks us in Scripture, we're going to look at a couple more verses here a little bit about obedience. But God asks some things of us in this life that are very, very difficult. Abraham loved his son. This was the son of promise. There was going to be seed from this son. God, you're sure about this. I don't see Abraham questioning. I'm not saying it's wrong to question sometimes, but I don't see Abraham questioning. It says he rose up early in the morning and he took his son. He even took the wood with him. Why didn't Abraham just forget a knife or something? I mean, we could get to the scene and I forgot my knife, God. I can't do this sacrifice. You know I love my son. Abraham didn't do that. He took everything that was necessary to follow through. There was obedience here. It says they went both of them together. I have no idea what Abraham was thinking. How am I going to tell my son about this? I don't know how old the lad was, but I'm guessing he was probably young. But Abraham tied him up and he laid him on the altar. Abraham was going to obey God, whatever God said. Abraham had that relationship with God. He knew if God took his son, he would make another way. Actually, I believe he knew that God was going to allow him to bring his son back alive, because he told the men, we're coming back. How is this going to happen? I don't know if Abraham knew. We don't know. But I love verse 8. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. Do I know that if I obey God and I commit myself completely to Him, He's going to make a way? Doesn't mean that it's always going to be a good way. There may be pain involved. There may be loss involved. But in the long term, we're on the winning side if we walk with Christ and we obey. And we do what He asks of us. That's not a popular thing to preach today. Many, many of our churches today would tell you, if it hurts, walk away from it. God will never require something of you that's painful. It's good for us to realize that when there's pain, when there's struggle, when there's heartache, hardships, God's growing us. Often we can't grow without pain. God's growing us. He wants us to grow closer to Him. If we go on in verse 15, we'll read 15 through 19 yet of the same chapter. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. He said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. God had made a promise to Abraham. I want us to think about the fact that God will never back off on His promises. When He gives us a promise, He's going to remain faithful to that promise. I'm going to go through a couple of verses here in John. If you'd like to turn to John, you can. We're just going to hop through John 14, a couple of verses here. This was Old Testament, and we can look at this and say, oh yeah, Abraham had such a close relationship with God, that it was easy for him to obey. Today it's just a little bit different because I don't literally hear God speak to me. Yeah, He speaks to me through the Word, through the Spirit. He speaks to me through brothers and sisters. Not many of us have ever heard anything audible from God. Maybe some of us. But that's not the normal way God speaks to us today. Abraham heard from God. And we can look at that and say, yeah, that's how it was for him, but not for us today. So obeying today is maybe not quite as big a deal. John 14, verse 15. And I know there's a lot of verses in John 14 we could pick out. I just got a couple here. John 14, verse 15 says this. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Wait a minute. That hinges on love, doesn't it? If ye love me, keep my commandments. So is my love proof, or my obedience proof that I love Christ? If I'm walking with Him, I will obey Him, won't I? If I'm walking with Him, I will obey Him. I think if we say that we love Him, but yet we choose to openly go against Him, we don't really love, do we? Do I love Him? Am I willing to obey what He says in the Word? Let's go to verse 21 of John 14. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So now we have a promise here of being loved by the Father. As I was a young boy, I remember sitting in church beside my dad. We do these things with our kids and we don't even think about it, I'm guessing. But I remember sitting in church beside my dad. My dad had big hands. And reaching over, and Dad would give me his hand, and I would sit there and I'd play with his hand. And there was something that went through me. There was my dad's love that I could feel just by his touch, me being able to touch him. We have a promise here of being loved by the Father. How much better is it for me to be loved by our Heavenly Father than it is to be loved by my earthly father? That's very, very important that we're loved by our earthly father. But being loved by God, that thrills me. That sends almost chills through me when I think about it. Being loved by God. So I guess I ask myself the question. In my daily walk with God, as I see things in the Word, and I have to make changes to follow after the Scriptures, am I willing? Or is my love for God not quite as strong as I think? John 14:24 says, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." That's pretty clear, isn't it? He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. I'm not sure where we're at on our screen right now. If we can back up one, let's see if this guy works now. There we go. Back one more. There we go. Obedience is the outward expression of your love for God. If I struggle with obedience, my problem is a lack of love. My obedience says that I love and trust God. I want to share something with you that happened in my life not too long ago. Some of us don't mind sharing with God a little bit of what's in our life. God knows it anyhow. But just the idea of sharing something with God, admitting to Him where I'm at in my walk, sometimes kind of hard, isn't it? I've been praying. I've been asking God for some specific things in my walk. And as I got before the Father, my wife and I were there by the bed. We were praying. We were working through some difficult things that God was working in us. I didn't hear God. Matter of fact, it seemed like a long time since God really answered my prayer. And there was just a wall there. It just didn't happen. So as I fell on my face before God, I was just pretty honest with Him. And I told Him, I says, "God, you know what? I really don't trust You anymore." I told Him how I felt. He knew it anyhow, but I told Him how I felt. "I don't trust You anymore. I've been praying to You. I've been asking different things from You, and it's nothing. It's just quiet. Talk to me." I was before His face for quite a bit. On my face. And God told me. So I was thinking in my heart. I say God told me. I was thinking in my heart. All of a sudden it came to me. It's like, "Lynn, you're just like Peter." And I told my wife what I sensed. "What's that mean?" You think God wasn't there? He was there. "You're just like Peter. You're willing to step out of the boat, but you're not willing to trust me. I want to do things in your life, but you've got to trust me." God brought healing that day. God spoke to me very clearly. I was at a conference here about 2 weeks ago. Vaughn and I were at a conference. We were listening to a speaker, and he began to talk about hearing God. I think all of us know this morning that we like to get up in the morning, we grab our Bible, we might read a little booklet or something, we might say a 20-second prayer, and we're off and running. And we really don't connect with God. We really don't have that relationship like we should have. Because we're so busy with things. This speaker was telling us, I want you to pull up two chairs sometime. He said, I want you to sit in the one chair. And I want to leave the other chair for Jesus. He said, sit in that chair. It doesn't matter how long it takes. If it takes an hour, stay sitting. Talk to Him until you can sense His presence. No, you're not going to see Jesus literally sitting in that chair. But talk to Him until you feel His presence. How many of you remember Garland Haar? Garland's gone now. But we talked to Garland, and often he'd go like this when you're talking to him. He'd put his hand up. Remember that? Those of you that remember him? Garland couldn't hear well. I picture myself when I'm listening for the Father to speak to me. I'm up there like this. I'm just waiting. Remember the old radios that we used to turn the knob on? You had to get it just right. Because there was static. You couldn't bring a station in until it was just perfect. I don't want to give you the picture that we have to be perfect. In Christ we can be. But so many times we're not in tune with God. We're in tune with ourselves. And God can't speak to us. Because we toned Him out. God, let me do my own thing. A little bit like we had way at the beginning. Let me do my own thing. I don't really need what you've got. But yet I want you to bless me. I don't believe God has quit speaking to us. I think we're not hearing. And I'm not pointing at you. I'm talking about myself. We're in a time right now we need to hear God. We need to be listening. He has so much to speak to us. It's dark out there. We are to be His light. But unless He speaks to us and puts that in there, we allow Him to do it. As we go out, we're going to mix right in. We are to be a light. I think that shines brighter as the world gets darker. John 14, verse 31 says, but that the world may know. Go to that next slide, Menno. I think that's the wrong. No, that's right. That's correct. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. So He's saying here that for you to see that I love the Father gave me a commandment. I obeyed it. I'm your example. Jesus showed His love for the Father by obeying Him. What an example. For us to see, even to the point of dying for us, giving His life on the cross, taking upon Him sins that He never committed. That was the ultimate example for us. I want to read some verses out of 1 John 2, and you don't have to turn to these. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar. That's pretty strong language there, folks. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. I'm not going to know what His commandments are. Tom preached about commandments here quite a while back, and it was a very worthwhile thing to listen to. I'm not going to know what they are unless I get into the Word and dig and see what He has for us. Jesus had an intimacy with the Father. We see that in the garden. Obedience brings intimacy with the Father. Go to the next slide there. My level of obedience to Jesus and His Word through the Holy Spirit determines my level of intimacy with the Father. How much do I want to know Him? Abraham chose to obey without question. I'm not giving you a picture this morning that obedience is anything easy. By no means. But I can say this, obedience is rewarding. And a lot of our reward comes, yes, there's reward here in this life. But our reward is in eternity. We look at some of those that are being persecuted today. They're being obedient to what Scripture teaches. Is it good for them here in this life? A lot of them are actually dying for their faith, for being obedient to Christ. I had to wonder as I was studying this. We talk a lot about persecution coming. If my heart is not set now to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, I really wonder what's going to happen when persecution comes. Will I be able to stand and walk in obedience, or will I turn and run because I really didn't have a relationship? Go to the last slide. I'm going to close with these verses this morning. 1 John 5, 1-3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves His children too. We know that we love God's children. We love God and obey His commandments. Loving God, this is the NLT by the way, loving God means keeping His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. That last phrase jumped at me. His commandments are not burdensome. See, there's freedom. There's freedom in listening to what the Holy Spirit speaks to us and willingly walking in obedience. There's freedom in that. We like to think that there's no freedom in obedience. I want things as I want them and I'm happy. Don't bother me. There's freedom in walking in obedience to Christ. My prayer is that each one of us here this morning would think about this. The importance of obedience. I know it's doing. It's so important, first of all, to be in Christ. But then as we walk out this life, because we love, we want to obey. It's something we desire to do. We all have within us that desire to worship. God placed that in there. As I walk in obedience, that continues to grow. Would you stand this morning as we pray? God, we're so thankful this morning for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would continue to work in my heart, each one that's here. It's our desire, Lord, to grow. Lord, we do want to obey. As the Scriptures teach, we know, Father, there's going to be a time when we stand before You. And we don't obey out of fear, God. But we obey because we love. Lord, we do love You. We just bless You for the many, many blessings that You give to us every day. Things we even forget about. Don't pay attention to. We thank You for that. Bless our congregation here. I pray that each one of us, as we step out these doors, that we would realize that we are hidden into a mission field. You've given us so much. We're responsible for so much. So we bless You this morning. We worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.